This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And then in terms of the Jum'ah khutbas, and then we will also publish the Ramadan plan as well, like the actual Ramadan plan, what we're going to be doing throughout the month of Ramadan. So this is the last halaqa that I will run before Ramadan, and I usually do it before Isha, but because of the town hall, I just pushed it till after Isha. We won't take very long. We only have three verses left of Surah Al-Jum'ah. I don't know, maybe it's a little bit of OCD in me. I like to at least finish a surah before Ramadan starts. It just stays in my head and it just bothers me until we come back and finish it later on. So I wanted to finish Surah Al-Jum'ah for that purpose, inshallah ta'ala. But please keep stay in tune with us, or stay because we will publish, inshallah, the pre-Ramadan plan and the Ramadan plan very soon. And that will tell you and give you details in terms of what's going to be happening. I'm going to be very specific, so you'll know each day what the session will be, how it will run, and exactly what to expect when you show up. Some of the sessions are more family friendly than others, but you're welcome to bring your kids and your family to come and listen to them. The khutbas will be about that as well. Our Ramadan, our pre-Ramadan plan starts the evening of Friday. So this Friday, I'll give a khutbah, and then that evening we enter the Ramadan mode. Everything is going to be focused on that month. And we're going to publish the motto and the plan for it, inshallah ta'ala, and encourage everyone to yani, inshallah, make their intentions and plan for a good Ramadan. I think we owe it to our brothers and sisters elsewhere that we make this Ramadan a turning point for all of us. It has to be a turning point, inshallah, for everybody here, for all Muslims around the world. I hope that that's what Ramadan turns out to be this year. Surah Al-Jumu'ah, what is left of it is the last three verses. Surah Al-Jumu'ah talks about leadership. It's very simple. In my opinion, it's one of the simplest surahs in the Quran, most simple surahs in the Quran in terms of what it's trying to teach. It's trying to give, or it's organizing for us the relationship of leadership within our nation. It's very simple. It's going to happen through Jumu'ah. Jumu'ah is how we're going to organize ourselves as an ummah. We're going to get our leader on the mimbar. He's going to tell us what's coming next, and we're going to move forward in that direction with him. And every week, as new things occur, as changes happen, as we revise our plan, we get on the mimbar again once a week and we do the same thing. And everyone is informed, everyone's involved. The beautiful piece of this is that not everyone has to attend. Men have to attend, and then they go home and they share with their wives what occurred. So everyone's informed. On a personal basis, everyone gets informed in terms of what the plans look like. And that's what Jumu'ah is there for. And we have successfully neutralized the effect of Jumu'ah almost all across the globe. And if we can bring Jumu'ah back in terms of what value it carries for this nation, then a lot can be done. Meaning the velocity or the speed of how quickly we can actually change our status will be quite impressive. Because we have that embedded leadership system in our deen, and we have access to it. It would be problematic if Jumu'ah stopped existing altogether. And we were trying to revive the existence of Jumu'ah. Now that would be a big problem. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that never happens to our ummah, because that would be scary. If Jumu'ah died off and we had to bring it back in terms of a ritual, that would be scary. But it's not. It's a ritual that exists within our community, within our society, within our nation. Muslims attend Jumu'ah. Even those who are far away from Allah still attend Jumu'ah. So all you have to do is just show up, make sure you have a worthy message of sharing, and just provide some leadership. But in order for that to work, the person on the mimbar has to be someone who actually has some authorization to lead in some direction. I always say these things, and I say this again. When I say this, listen to me clearly. I do not care for being in a position of leadership at all. I'm actually not good at doing that. I'm very chaotic, I'm not very organized, and I don't know how to follow. I'm not good at this. But I still think Jumu'ah should be something that is based on leadership. Even if we have leadership in the community, it doesn't mean that I have to, either the leader gets on the mimbar and teaches, or I speak on his behalf, which I'm happy to do. I'm happy to speak on behalf of what leadership we have as an ummah or as a community. I did that when I was younger, growing up, because when I gave khutbah, I gave it on behalf of my teacher, who was an elderly gentleman who still led the community, but was too old to get on that mimbar and speak. So I did it on his behalf. I spoke. I was speaking on his behalf. And that's how you make sure that there's still leadership. It's when you neutralize the person on the minbar, where that person is just an employee, paid by a board of directors, held accountable by them to achieve certain milestones that they put for him, that you completely snip off any wings and make sure that this person has nothing to offer. Because they're not providing a vision, they're not providing leadership, and they have no direction to take people in. They're just a puppet for some other group of people who have something to say. And in that context, even if we did, even if let's say the chairman of the board was the leader of that masjid, either that person gets on the minbar and gives the direction, or the sheikh will speak on his behalf. And it has to be clear that way, that I speak, I'm here because I'm a better public speaker, and I'm speaking on behalf of the actual leader of our community, who is this is the direction they're taking us. And that's okay too, that's not a problem. But what we have right now is neither that nor this. What we have right now is just a complete mess. It's just basically a celebrated khatira. That's what Jum'ah turns into. It's just a little bit of a khatira on steroids. That's what Jum'ah is. The person on up there has no say on almost anything at all. He's not leading his own family to lead the community, and he's just up there, talking to people about problems, and it becomes very useless. It becomes very useless for the people where people stop finding benefit in attending. I know I've ranted about this a lot for Jum'ah. I don't want to take all of your whole night, but honestly, it never fails to bother me and to surprise me how easy it would be for us to change our status if we just utilize the simple fundamental rituals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our deen. He just, imagine this Jum'ah was instilled, like, it's there, just use it. How can a community get lost if they meet every week and their leaders tells them where they're going, and they find out what their responsibility is, and they follow up on it, or they give them feedback and they move? It's almost impossible for that community to fail. It's impossible if you just had that piece instilled, even if it's a community that's not fully educated. But obviously, Surah Al-Jum'ah is not just talking to actually, Surah Al-Jum'ah doesn't talk to the attendees until the piece we're going to read now. Surah Al-Jum'ah, the first page is talking to the person who's giving it. Surah Al-Jum'ah, the first page was actually chastising me, the person who's on the minbar speaking. What is it that I'm supposed to talk about? How if I don't do my job, then the congregation turns into الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا. Your congregation turns into people who carry a book and have no idea what it is because you didn't teach them properly. That if you don't teach the right topics, if you don't bring, for example, the concept of responsibility instead of favorism. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ. You're not favored by Allah, you're responsible and held accountable by Him. If you don't talk about death specifically, the piece of the equation that allows people to take what's being said seriously and allows them to sacrifice and give their time, give their life, reminded that this will all end and it will end soon. And if you don't make sure that if you don't use this time wisely, then you're going to end up extremely upset at the end of it. If I fail to share that with you, if I fail to talk about these topics, then you're not going to benefit, you're not going to learn, and nothing's going to happen. So the first page is just honestly directed to khutaba, not really to anyone else. It's the second piece that we'll read today that is directed to an attendee. And in life, you will give khutbas and you'll attend them. If you're a talib ilm, at some point you'll give them. Most of the time you're attending them. Either or, you're important. You're a part of the fabric of what Jumu'ah is. You're a part of that fabric. If the imam's on the minbar speaking to no one, then obviously that's not going to work. And if people are attending and there's no one to speak to them, it doesn't work either. In order for Jumu'ah to work, you need someone who's going to direct and lead, and those who are willing to be led. You have to be willing to be led. Doesn't mean that you give up your freedom or your individuality or your own autonomy. That's not what being led means. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. You don't obey anyone who commands you to disobey Allah, regardless of who that person is. But if you're not willing to be led, if you're not willing to allow someone who is in a position of leadership to at least lead the way, take a direction, and you support them, then there's no hope. You're not a follower if you will only walk in the direction that you'll only walk behind a leader if they go in the direction you want. That's not followership. That doesn't work. That means you're the leader. If the only time you'll move or budge, if the person will do what you want, then you're the leader. خلاص, تعال, you take it then. You have to be willing to walk in a direction that maybe you don't fully understand, but you trust that this person is doing it for the right reason. They have a good argument, and you're going to go with it. And if it's wrong, then we'll figure it out. That's why you have Jumu'ah every week. We'll figure it out. If you were wrong, we'll figure it out. If this direction turned out to be wrong, no problem. It'll become obvious. We'll step back and we'll change. All that, any of it, honestly, is better than being a headless chicken. Is then better than this. Better than what we're living right now. What we're living right now is a complete waste of breath. It's a waste of breath. Wallah, nothing happens. Nothing changes. We just complain. I am like the decorated complainer at this point. I should be given a prize. Just complaining all the time about stuff because nothing happens, because we don't have a proper leadership system instilled within our community to make sure that when things are obviously not going well, that we have a way to start turning things around and moving in the direction that needs to be moved in. So you can blame the khutbah for being bad leaders or the board of masajid for not setting up the leadership piece as much as you like. If you're not a good follower, then you're a part of the problem. If you're not a good follower, if you're not someone who understands what it means to be a part of a group, a team, and there being someone who's going to, you do it at work all the time, you're not always the leader in your team, it's okay. Doesn't mean that you're less. Doesn't mean that you're not as important or not as valuable. Doesn't mean anything. You just, this is where you are right now. I follow, I walk, and then I give feedback, and I hold accountable, and I continue to do that, and that's how we move. But if you're not willing to follow, then why do you come to Jummah? You just come and listen to someone and then go do whatever you want? That's like the worst. That doesn't work either. It doesn't work either. I'm sorry. It's a two-way road. Everyone has a certain degree of responsibility when it comes to what Jummah is. This beautiful ritual that we have. This beautiful ritual we become. We praise Allah together. Yeah? And we show gratitude to Allah together. And we salli ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam together. And read the Quran together. All as a group. We praise. We do it as a group. With some unity to ourselves, and we pray, like the whole thing happens, it's very beautiful. And not everyone's speaking, like for example, it's a nice social after Salah, everyone's speaking, you can't hear yourself. Jumu'ah is organized, one person speaks, everyone else listens. The feedback they have, they can give later. They can give throughout the week, so that the next Jumu'ah, that person has more things to think about, and they can offer again, and then you keep on doing that. That's how he grew, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's how he grew his ummah, that's how he grew his community. And that's how he learned as he went along what people needed. And what was happening, and what was required for his nation. That's why he built it. That open loop, that the feedback would continue, that reinforcement of thoughts went on. And every Friday he got up and he explained. And yes, there was all these musallayat where they prayed Dhuhr and Asr and Isha, and they all came to one Jumu'ah, to where he taught it, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he would send people to other tribes and other cities to go and do it, but they all came to listen. Right now, you know, we're far from where we need to be. And it's not a problem that just exists in London. It's a problem that exists all across the globe. But I don't see why it can't be fixed here. Like, I can tell you why it can't be fixed in Syria and in Egypt and wherever country you come from. Oh, we can sit down. I can tell you exactly why. It's never going to work because there's a totalitarian regime that's running the country and giving a sheikh a piece of paper to read from and giving a script that he can't leave. And if he leaves, then he'll go to a place where he'll never see the sun for the rest of his miserable life. So they don't have an option much. They do their best, but they don't have that. Here, no one cares. No one does. There's no one following or watching or holding you accountable. The masajid have autonomy. They can speak. We can speak. We can talk about what we want. Talk about our problems. We can fix them. We can find solutions. The only barrier we have is ourselves. No one likes to hear that, but that's the truth. The barrier that we have in finding solutions and getting proper leadership for ourselves is ourselves and nothing else. And communities that figure that out, by the way, become extremely successful. Sheikh Al-Janabi was talking about some of the masajid in the U.S. Some of the masajid in the U.S. are ridiculously huge, and they have a lot of facilities and people, and there's a lot there. And the reason that they are able to do that is because if you go look, you find that there's a structure of leadership within that community. They figured out a way where they knew who it is that was making the calls, and they followed. And even the shiuch followed, and that's fine. The imam and the minbar, I don't have to be a leader. I just have to know who my leader is so that I can always see, okay, what's coming up next, so that I can speak about it, so I can get people going in that direction. And that requires a sacrifice from everyone. All right, so I want to read with you the last piece of Surah Al-Jumu'ah. It's more focused on us as attendees, as followers, as people who are willing, are part of the community that's willing to be led, that has figured out a system that works for them, and what they owe it. what they owe within that within that framework. So let's recite, inshallah, ayah number 9 and 10 and 11. I'll explain them, inshallah, we'll be done by, inshallah, before 9.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا أَوْ لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا
So the hamz al-wasl that's right before انْفَضُّوا, it doesn't really take, it's not أَوْ لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا, it's لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا. You just go from the tanween that is lahwan, and you give it a kasra, lahwanin faddu, because the hamzat al-wasl doesn't really exist. It doesn't, it only exists at the beginning of if you start reciting from it, it has a haraka, it has a certain movement to it. But if you're reading continuously, it ceases to have that, which is why it's called hamzat al-wasl specifically.
انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما. قُلْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ.
All right, this is the attendee piece. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, all those who believe. And obviously you can see that's a little bit different here, because up till now we didn't have that nida. And Surah Al-Jumu'ah didn't start with calling the believers. It just began by explaining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. He's talking about himself, of why he is the ultimate supreme leader of all. Jalla Jalalu al-Malik al-Quddus al-Aziz al-Hakim. It talked about why Allah sent prophets, what were they were there to teach, what they were sent to actually achieve for people. And then what happens when you don't do the right thing? When you don't lead appropriately, what happens? You end up having people, kal-himari yahmilu asfara. It's like a donkey carrying books. There's no understanding of it. People feel that they're favored. They basically, people start understanding their deen in the opposite manner. Instead of feeling responsible, you feel favored. They're so different, but they're so easily confused if the people aren't educated. You're a Muslim. Does that mean Allah favors you? Or does that mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds you more responsible? It's a very... This can be easily confused, but they're so different in terms of your comprehension than what it does for you. If you decide this is, no, he must like me more than others, then yeah, Habibi, we have hit rock bottom. And if you feel responsible, then that will motivate you to work. It'll make sure that you actually take what it is that you've given and you'll use it well. Now he calls upon ladina amanu, all those who believe, those who are going to attend, right? إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَةِ, if it is called upon for the salah, he specifically is referring to Salat al-Dhuhr, min yawm al-Jumu'ah, on the day of Jumu'ah. Why is it Dhuhr, not some other Salah? Because that's known through Tawatur Amali. I mean, you know the Prophet, that's when they did it. That's the Prophet alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam, the timing he did this. He never did Jumu'ah in any other time. Like Jumu'ah was never a substitution to Fajr or Asr or anything else. It was always a substitution to Dhuhr on the day of Jumu'ah. So even though it doesn't say that there, we don't need it to, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, that's how he practiced it. So we have that with abundance of knowledge. إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ, if it's called upon, meaning if you hear the adhan, here we can't hear the adhan. If you're living back home and you're in your shop or you're working and Allahu Akbar for Jummah, you close and you go. Here we don't have that, so you have to actually, you know, schedule it on your phone. You have to go to your employer and figure out what time he's going to let you out. You're going to see what the closest Jummah is. You're going to make sure that you have transportation to get there. You have to plan out a little bit more than you would if you were living in a country where it's a Muslim majority and masajid are everywhere and all you have to do is just hear the adhan and go. Here, you have to actually plan it out, right? It's a little bit more of labor. You know, you have to put in more effort and more time. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You're obligated to do that. I'm sorry to say that after COVID, there was this shift in mentality, especially amongst young men, where Jumu'ah became a little bit less strict. They started dealing with Jumu'ah a little bit less strictly. Like, yeah, I'll attend, but you know, if I have a meeting or something, or I couldn't get there, if you're a young Muslim male, you're living in the area that you're living, you're not traveling, you're obligated to attend the Jummah. You are absolutely obligated. This is the most important ritual of the whole entire week. It is the most valuable ritual of your entire week. Sisters, it's optional for them. They can attend if they want, and if they don't attend, ma'alayhim haraj. So it's much more open for the sisters, and jazakallah khair for those who would like to attend, they're welcome to. But for men, it is absolutely mandatory for you to attend Jumu'ah. There is no exception unless you are sick or you're traveling. Aside from those two basic exceptions or reasons for you not to attend, you have to show up for Jumu'ah. I don't care what the excuse is. Unless you're if you are a pilot or a surgeon, then okay. Maybe don't leave the OR and go attend a Jumu'ah and come back. Maybe that I can give you an exception to that. Maybe if you're driving a plane, maybe you stick to that. Aside from that, you have to make sure you have to attend Jumu'ah. If you're living in this area, khalas, you've been living here for a while, you're not traveling for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, you have to attend. I don't care what the quality of the Jumu'ah is. I don't care what you tell me. But he speaks the language I don't understand. I don't care if he's there speaking in Klingon. And he has and everything that he's saying is addressing people from Mars, and you relate to nothing of it. You sit there, you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he's done, you pray Jumu'ah, and then you leave. You're absolutely obligated to do this. And I've been telling this to younger brothers and sisters because I feel there's a little bit of lack of strictness here. And this is where you need to be strict, because this is an absolute mandatory ritual. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam actually has a lot of ahadith that are very, very heavy for those who don't attend Jumu'ah. And one of them, this is a collection of Imam Muslim, where he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, لَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ أَنْ آمُرَ بِحَطَبٍ فَيُحْتَطَبْ فَأَذْهَبُ فَأُحَرِّقَ بُيُوتًا عَلَى النَّاسِ بُيُوتَهُمْ مِمَّنْ تَرَكُوا الْجَمَاعَةِ. I've made the intention, but I didn't do it, but I made the intention to have wood cut up for me, and then I go to the people who don't attend Jumu'ah and burn their houses down. He's talking about the Muslims who've given shahada, not non-Muslims. Obviously, they're not accountable. He never did it, alayhi salatu wasalam, but I've never heard him use language like that elsewhere. You always want to watch out when he uses that strict language that, okay, this is a big deal. And another hadith in the collection of Ahmad and Abu Dawood, where he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, من ترك ثلاثة جمعات متواليات طبع الله على قلبه. Those who leave three Jumu'ahs in a row with no excuse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala طبع على قلبه, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send his heart in a different direction. His heart, he doesn't even want him anymore. Go do something else. I don't need you. Because there's no reason for you not to. Now, these are harsh ahadith. They're there because of the importance of this ritual. It's not just, and that helps you understand. It's because it's not just a ritual. It's not just a ritual. No, it's a system of leadership. Like, it's more than just a ritual. That's why when they held back zakah, he went to war with them, Abu Bakr, because it wasn't just a ritual. It was also the financial backbone of the ummah. So you had to give it. You do it as a ritual, but you owe it. You have to give it because the ummah will completely collapse if you don't. The same thing goes for Jumu'ah. When you find this harsh, these harsh wordings in the Quran or the Sunnah, know that there are, that this action is multi-layered and is multifunctional. There's a lot of things about it. It's not just the ritual itself. There's more to it than that. And Jum'ah, there's for sure more to it than that. You are basically pulling the fabric, ripping the fabric of this ummah apart when you decide that it's not important anymore. So إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ, if it's called upon for salah on the day of Jum'ah, فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, then move hastily. فَاسْعَوْا, meaning you move quickly. The sa'i is when you move forcefully. You're not just strolling. The moment is as if you hear حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ, you drop and you run. You drop and you move. That's it. Nothing else distracts you. You don't stop and, hey, كيف الحال, nothing, none of that stuff. I'm sorry, it's Jum'ah. You move. We'll come back and we'll chat later. It's Jum'ah. That's what fas'au means. There's no distraction. You are a tunnel vision individual that only sees the masjid at the end of it, and that's where you're going, and that's it. This is the commands of God. It's not me. I'm not. You know, I'm just explaining to you what the terminology indicates. Fas'au ila dhikrillah. Go quickly and clearly and directly towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you'll be reminded of Allah and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you and for you and of you. You get to come and hear, praise your Lord with your fellow Muslims and hear of how you're going to satisfy Allah, how you're going to praise Allah better in your life. What are you going to do? How are we going to take steps collectively as a group closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because you can worship Allah individually on your own. You can read Quran, you can do more salawat, but then as an individual, that's a different story. As a community, forgive me, it's a different story. As a community, we have to have direction and leadership. That's how we praise Allah. We praise Allah as a community by making sure that we know where we're going, and that we are picking up our pace, and that we're taking care of our vulnerable, and that we're heading towards solutions for the problems that we have that are acute and chronic within our society. That's how we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a group. And that's why you have to go quickly towards the remembrance of Allah. وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ, and leave all that which is selling. And the word selling is a beautiful, is a good usage, because he would say, عليه الصلاة والسلام, كل مرئ يغدو فبائع نفسه in the hadith of Sahihain. Every person, when they get up in the morning, they go and they're selling themselves. Either they sell themselves and they're free, they free themselves by doing it, or they enslave themselves. But you're going to sell yourself to something. Like, you're going to commit yourself to something, so choose what you're committing yourself to. Either to something that will grant you freedom or something that will grant you captivity. So, وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ, and leave any other form of selling. Whether it's things that you're selling, or yourself that you're selling, or something, whatever it is, the whole transactional piece of life, where I do this for you, you do this for me, I need to get that, I need to help someone to get that, which is most of what life is. Here, give me this knowledge, I'll pay you this tuition, here's my hours, I need my paycheck, all that, put that aside, and go to dhikrillah. وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ, leave it. ذَلِكُمْ, indeed, that is خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, it's better, best for you, it's best for you. إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, if you have knowledge, if you know what it's worth knowing, if you know what is what, then you'll know that this is the best thing for you to do. And he was right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he continues to be. There's nothing more valuable than us having this, having Jumu'ah. I don't know how to fix this. I don't. I've been thinking about this for the majority of my life. Now it's the majority of my life, I'm 38, I've been thinking about this for the majority of my life. I don't know how to fix this. It's been 20 years now, I'm trying to figure out how do you fix this? How do you change this aspect of our existence? Because it's right there. The solution is right there. We have it instilled. Just use it. Just utilize it. You come to Jum'ah. You see, you run halaqat. When you guys are, this number is here today because we had the town hall. That's all. People just didn't want to go, I think, out of. I run this halaqat. 15 people, 20 people. Their backs to the wall. Half of them asleep. That's what comes up for you. Like for me, that's what shows up. For Jum'ah, the place is full. It's not for me. This is full because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called upon them for Jum'ah, so they came for Jum'ah. He put it there. He put the system right there. Just use it. Use it so you can lead, so you can move forward, so you can fix the problems. If we can just figure that piece out, honestly, Allah can. فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, and when salah is completed, قُضِيَت meaning it's over, it's done, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, He actually commands you. He says, go. Disperse amongst the land. Go into the earth. Go on earth, and go in different in your directions, whatever direction it is that you're going to. فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله. And go and seek Allah's bounty on earth. Go continue your jobs and your work and what you learned from this khutbah, so they can go and you can seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounty that exists on the planet. Go, you learned, now go. He doesn't want you to stick in the masjid all day long. These masajid are not for people, places for people to live all day long. No, you attend the khutbah, you learn something, salah is over, get out, go. Intashir fil ard. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to do, so go amongst this wide earth and seek the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing what it is that needs to be done. وَبْتَغُوا مِن فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And praise Allah a lot. And invocate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you do it. So when you go out to do it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. That's what he's saying. It's a beautiful, wallahi, it's a beautiful verse. It's very beautiful. It's like, here, you can't attend the Jummah, you're done, good, leave. Go into this wide earth that I created for you. And seek my bounty as you continue to invocate Allah in the meantime. Don't go seek your bounty, forget about God until next Friday. Come back next Friday and be reminded of all the things you did. No, you go and you seek the bounty of Allah with Allah's remembrance in your mind. See what he said at the first ayah is, fas'aw to what? Ila dhikrillah. Go to the remembrance of Allah. And then he told you when you leave, wadhkurullah. Meaning when it is that you learned, take that and use it. You came, you heard dhikrillah. You heard it? I did. Okay, now go out after salah. Disperse within this earth. And seek his bounty and wadhkurullah and use the remembrance that you were offered. What were you taught that this week? What is it that you learned this week about yourself or for yourself that you should do? Go use that. Go invocate Allah through that activity. Wadhkurullaha kathira, do it a lot. La'allakum tuflihun, so that maybe you will find success. Success, he uses the word to success here. Turhamun, maybe. No, tuflihun. That's how you'll succeed. As a community, that's how you'll succeed. You will come to Jum'ah religiously. You will hear the dhikr, and then you will disperse afterwards. And you will seek his bounty as you continue to invocate him, and that's how you'll succeed. Because now you have direction, you know what needs to be done. Hopefully the person on the minbar pointed out something that needs to be fixed, or a direction that we need to move in, and everyone moved into it. And you used that week to wadhkurullah. You took that dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically, and you sought his bounty subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the week. Then we'll be successful. Then he points out, subhanahu wa ta'ala, pitfall. Stake. وَإِذَا رَأَوْا. Imagine this ayah. This ayah actually occurred, so it's important. Some of my teachers could not read this ayah without breaking into tears. They found it extremely, a very emotional one. وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا. And then if some of them, if they see tijara, meaning an opportunity for a transaction that is beneficial. So work, professional advancement. أَوْ لَهْوًا, just something that's less prioritized, like lower on the priority level than Jumu'ah. Some form of leisure or some form of fun. Something that's not as important as Jumu'ah. Tijaratan, something beneficial. Or lahwan, something they enjoy that's not necessarily beneficial. Tijaratan aw lahwan. Infaddu ilayha. Infaddu, meaning they move forcefully towards it. The sa'i is one thing. Infidad is even stronger. It's like they're fighting to get out the door. They're pushing and shoving, they want to get there. Infaddu ilayha. وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. And they left you standing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they leave you standing. It happened during his life, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Where he's on the early on in Medina, early on, before this surah was revealed. He's giving the khutbah, alayhi salatu wa sallam. People are listening. And then a caravan, the way it happened is a caravan would come from Yemen or from Dimashq or Sham or whatever it came from, with all of the goods. Now that the merchant would wait in the souq, and all of the people would come and buy from him. Basically, and he would sell based on whatever the price was or whatever he wanted to sell as. And people would do it quickly because resources were you know, scarce. It was hard to come by a good rug or a pair of shoes or it's not easy to get clothing or to get wheat or barley. Like it's not always available. So when the tajir comes in with all of the goods, he's standing on the minbar, alayhi salatu wasalam. The hadith is in the collection of Nasa'i and Tirmidhi. And they left him. People got up and ran out to buy their stuff, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on the minbar speaking, and this verse was revealed. وَإِذَا رَأَوْا. When they see tijaratan aw lahwan, either a transaction that's beneficial to them or just leisure, infaddu ilayha, they race towards it. They fight their way towards it. وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا And they leave you standing. They leave you, قَائِمًا is not just standing. It's also carrying the responsibility. And I explain this a lot because the word قِيَام in the Quran is very specific. It's an extremely important word. It's used a lot. You have to understand what it means. It doesn't mean standing up. It means taking a stand and then carrying the burden of it. And that's what he uses, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all through the Quran. Like قِيَام and إِقَام and قَائِم, this word, from it is also taking mustaqim, by the way, but this word is used all throughout the Quran and it has a specific utility that you have to watch. Tarakuka qa'im is not just standing alone, but also carrying it alone. As if you're the only person responsible for this whole thing. They should have, قل, say this, ما عند الله, what Allah has hidden for you or has waiting for you through this ummah that He gave you and this system that He granted you, خيرٌ, it's better, من اللهوي ومن التجارة, from whatever fun you're seeking, or leisure, or whatever transactions you think are going to help you. Wallahu khayrul raziqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of providers. And if you, okay, so you end up coming to Jumu'ah and you miss out on the, being the first bidder on whatever merchandise you get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of providers. He'll provide for you. Don't worry about it. Attend this. This is important. Don't leave him standing, alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm trying to explain something. As we walk out, we're too distracted and we don't care because other things are important in our lives. Because we think something else is going to help us. Be there, be present. Don't let anything else distract you. Don't let anything else take you away from what this ritual is. And that, if you take this ayah, and of course you understand it in his context, alayhi salam, but then if you extrapolate the idea to your own context, it's not that different. If the person on the minbar is left to carry the responsibility of this deen, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. If I have to carry this my own, then it's not going to go anywhere. I'm very weak and I'm ignorant and I don't know what I'm doing and I don't have a lot. This only works if everyone is involved. If you feel just as responsible as I do, if not more. Like we have to share this sense of ownership and responsibility and belonging. Why, if what they went to was that important, why didn't the Prophet ﷺ get down the minbar and go with them? All right, stop Jumu'ah, let's go by and we'll come back and continue. If he's still up there talking, you should be still down there listening. You can't just tap out and leave. That's not how this works. And this is, I'm not talking about this for every halaq. We're talking about Jumu'ah specifically. Jumu'ah is symbolic to our commitment to our nation. It's symbolic to our commitment to our system and our leadership. That's what it's there for. It's, you are symbolically committing to your nation and to the leadership system within it. So when you walk away, or you decide you don't have to attend, or it's not that important, or something else comes along and now you're too busy. قُلْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهُوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ Whether it's lahu or tijara, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for you is way more important. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ Sorry to say that. It's hard to make this argument to people when we turn Jumu'ah into such a token. Just a token khatira, just something that's empty of essence, empty of actual leadership. It's hard to make this argument. I know, like it's very hard. I struggled making it, but in Islam you can't say, well, they're not doing it right, so I'll stop doing my part. No, in Islam you always do your part, whatever it is. Your part is what? To attend, then you attend. You attend, for better or for worse. Good imam, horrible imam, whatever. Imam who screams a lot and yells, it doesn't matter. You just attend. You attend. You listen. You don't like it, you find something better, you don't find something better, then you attend anyways, because that's your commitment. That's you showing, Ya Rabbi, I'm committed. Now, they're not doing a very good job, but at least I'm committed. And if you understand this more, if you really understand these verses well, then you hold accountable the leaders to make sure that they're offering something that's worth listening to and offering direction so that you can walk, because they owe that to you. They owe that. We owe that to people who are listening, that there's something to do next, that we have some form of direction. And if we don't offer that, then we should not be on the minbar speaking, and we should be substituted with those who will offer it. And you are responsible for that too. You can't say it's not my problem. It's your problem. It's 100% your problem. You are not exempted from this, and you're not exonerated, and you cannot look at yourself and say, well, you know, I don't run masajid, so what? You think people who run masajid were appointed by God Himself, Jalla Jalaluhu? No. They're just a bunch of people who ran for a board position, or maybe a few people who fundraised for a space and ran. That's it. They're just like you. It's no difference. Maybe a little bit more knowledge for some of them, but that's it. You're as responsible as them. But know where your spot is. Not everyone should be on the minbar. Not everyone should be, obviously. But you have to make sure you have the right person there. And then everyone else has to be willing to walk down that path. And they have to be willing to be as committed. So whether there's a lahu or tijara, they don't infaddu ilayha, they don't go run towards it and leave and leave the other people standing. No, trying to run this alone. No. مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهُ مِنَ التِّجَارَةِ what Allah has planned for this ummah through this system is way better than whatever individual gains you make by leaving. You gain more by staying than you could ever by leaving, which is the idea that Jum'ah brings. Because an ummah that is strong, that has direction, that has leadership, that is united, way more khair comes from that than whatever you're going to gain by going in an extra hour of work or an extra hour of... And don't get me wrong, if you're a student and you have an exam, that's, I understand that. If you have, obviously people who are trying to, there are exemptions here. I'm not trying to make your life difficult. But I think you know, for the most part, when you're not taking it as seriously as you should. I'm just saying that much. I think as a young Muslim man, you kind of know when you could have made it, but you just didn't put in the effort. I'm telling you, this is where you have to put in the effort because this is not a joke. Like other stuff, you can afford maybe, but not this. This is absolutely mandatory for Muslim men. You have to attend Jumu'ah somewhere. And then, in my opinion, you have to be a part of the accountability system. You have to be a part of the fellowship. And you have to give feedback to the leadership. And this has to work that way. And if we did that, you'd see a bit of a shift. And yes, sometimes followers who have a lot of questions are annoying. They're annoying, but they keep leaders and they keep us focused. They keep us in check. A leader who has no one to question them will do anything after a while. If no one asks me questions about what I say, after a while I'll just become lazy and say anything. No matter how good I am, no matter how great the intention is, it's impossible. You need someone to be pointing out where this is not what needs to be said. Why did you say that? Could you have not said this? So that you're always thinking and you're knowing that people are actually listening. They're taking interest. They're actually doing what you're saying. If you're not saying what needs to be said, then you're harming people's lives and you should be held accountable for that. This is how it works. And yeah, it would be nice if we went back to that. I think, okay, it's 9:04, so I'll end with that, inshallah. Thank you for actually attending this halaqah because this would have kind of stuck with me for the rest of Ramadan had I not finished with the Jum'ah beforehand. Inshallah, next week the halaqah will be before the halaqat. We'll send out the schedule. But before Isha, and they'll be more Ramadan oriented. They'll be in English. Read the titles and see what fits you or what you want or what suits you, and we'll kind of talk about stuff, inshallah ta'ala, and we're welcome to attend. Yes. Yeah. So inshallah we'll see you then, and stay tuned for the announcements for the pre-Ramadan preparation sessions, and make the intention inshallah for a good Ramadan. May Allah accept from all of us. Subhanallah bihamdika la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa sallam. Jazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu fikum. Thank you for those who attended the town hall. I hope inshallah you found it beneficial. Please